Welcome back to the Bearable Project. We are with another episode. This one, my good friend and fellow Hoyt shooter, Matt Yaka, had hosted the ladies of the 2023 Outdoor Target Nationals. It was a great episode. Matt did a great job hosting. Hope Matt comes back and does some more. But I just wanted to give a quick introduction, welcome you all back to the Bearable Project. Make sure you go check out the new website, www.thebearableproject.com. Obviously, our Instagram and Facebook, you just do what you see above me right here to follow all the Bearable Project and all of its infinite platforms, so on and so forth. Check out the website. There's new pages being built every day for the website that includes like a kind of a breakdown of tutorials for beginner bareboat, intermediate bareboat, advanced bareboat, which also includes bareboat education. My online advanced seminar is available. It's a recorded version, but it comes with coaching. So you can purchase the seminar, watch the recorded version, and then work with me one-on-one to kind of put everything in place. So that just comes with it. So you can look for that. And obviously Patreon members get discounts on all of that stuff. A lot of my Patreon members actually attended the last one. So check that out. We are looking at, there's been some talk and discussion about bringing an in-person advanced bareboat seminar to the Oklahoma, North Texas area. Somewhere out in there, we got some bareboat archers looking to secure a location for that. So watch the website and obviously social media for those announcements. And if you're interested, or if you're interested in hosting a seminar, or you think you have, try to keep it around 10 minimum bareboat archers that are looking to spend 2 days, 2.5 days really, because Friday night's like a shoot around, of very meaningful bareboat training and gaining some knowledge, let me know. Be more than happy to, if we can narrow down some dates, come out and see you all. Don't forget, Lancaster Archer Classic is coming. Get yourself signed up for that. Description of that will be in the link, or the link will be in the show description. Check out the store, check out the online apparel store and all that good stuff. And obviously, check out all of our sponsors in the description of the show as well. Thank you so much. Good luck this season. Peace. Enjoy the show.
What's up, Bearboat Project? This is Matt Yaka, guest host tonight. And I have the ladies of the podium of the 139th Target Nationals. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi. They're all here. They're all excited. I'm excited. This would be my first night hosting solo. Frank's here somewhere in the background. We'll keep him there. He looks better in the background. And in the foreground. I'm just kidding, Frank. You're adorable. But I'm excited to talk to these ladies here. I'm excited to be here as your host. We'll probably get way more viewers than we've ever had on the Bearboat Project because of this right here, what's going on. And so again, I'd like to introduce these ladies, and we'll actually let them introduce themselves. And we will start with Diane. So have at it.
Hello. Diane Cochran, I guess kind of running through the most basic stuff. I've been doing archery for about a year and a half. Kind of started with bareboat. We'll try to stick to bareboat and try to get as many bareboat people as I can up here in Washington State.
Awesome. Cindy, go ahead. What do you got?
All right. Yeah, I'm Cindy or Johanna Saka, whichever name you guys prefer. I'm 39 out of Houston, Texas. We have a local Joad, Houston Archery Lessons and Joad. And, I've been shooting for probably over 12 years, but I've been doing bareboat coming on a year come November.
1 year. All right. And Francesca.
So I'm Francesca Benavidez. I'm 17. I'm from New Mexico. And I did the NASP program in my school just like a handful of semesters. And then I started bareboat in the end of January this year. So 9 months.
9 months. Okay. You know where this is going to go in a little bit, kids, don't you? Francesca, did you mention a club you shoot for besides the program that you're with or any other group that you shoot with?
No, I am unattached. I'm not part of a JOAD team in our state currently.
Gotcha. Interesting. Okay. And then so for all of you, do you guys have mentors and or coaches that you've worked with for Barebow?
At least for me, I've been shooting with Next Step Archery. It's a team and a little bit of a school up here in Washington. We basically shoot out of a couple of clubs. One would be the WCW Shooting Sports or the Kenmore Gun Range for people who know the area. And the other would be Knock Point for doing all the indoor archery.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then Cindy.
Our head coach from our JOAD program has been my coach since I started archery. And he helps me the most. But that being said, I accept help from anybody who's willing to help me. And as we know, Texas has a fair number of barebow individuals.
Great ones.
Yes. And I take in everything that they have to offer.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. All right. okay. So questions going into this. So big event, right? So Target Nationals, what are for you guys, what are the expectations going into this last Target Nationals? Like, so we're, of course, we'll start with Diane again. What were your expectations going to this tournament? Like, so what, like, did you expect to win? Do you expect to do well? Do you expect to be dead last? What is in your head going into this tournament?
So I actually had a bit of a weird situation compared to most people in that when I shot at Buckeye, I basically left that tournament to go to Sweden where I was helping a friend for the entire month. And I flew back from Sweden to go to the Target Nationals. So my expectations were basically stay upright and, just try not to completely fall apart, try not to be dead last. Like, it was a little interesting for me. I know. Wow. Seeing that face, right? I happened to get very lucky in that I found a local club it's basically the small club of about five people in Sweden where they let me use their range. And so I was going out there a couple of times a week to try to keep my skills up. But I basically came in with almost no expectations. And I guess the only thing I can think of is that Sweden air definitely did me some good.
And there's some good archers there. Definitely some absolutely great archers in that part of the world. Wow. Okay. All right. So moving on, who's next? Go ahead, Francesca, what do you got?
So I don't know if people know, but I'm 17. So I shot U18 like earlier this season. And then at Buckeye, I switched up to the senior division. And then I shot JOAD Nationals and then senior nationals. And I just went out there, have a good time. I'm always excited to compete with the ladies, and y'all are a bunch of strong group of competitors. So I just wanted to try to see how I was going to do. And I'm overall happy with my end result. And I'm just out there for a good time.
Just out there for a good time. And look where you ended up. That's amazing. And Cindy, what about you?
My goal going in is to have fun, first and foremost. I mean, that's why I wanted to pick up barebow. And then also, knowing that I have to coach, I have to make an example of myself, and just no expectations on winning, right, like ever. And just the only expectation is just trying to bring the best job that I can, and also work on self-care, because I've realized, meals before shooting are kind of important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. When it comes to stuff like that, like taking care of yourself, sleep, nutrition, hydration, all of those things play a huge role, an immense role that a lot of people overlook. It's my specialty and what I do in my career and for life. It means a lot to me. So self-care is, like, just the way you stated it, super important, and it should be a priority. And we've had a discussion on the Bear Bowl project in the past, like, kind of keeping all your ducks in a row, like, make sure you have your things, like your home life and your family life and all those things, in order prior to going into tournaments. And it just kind of eases your mind a little bit and takes your mind off of, you know, off of those things, and just help you focus on what you need to focus on. But that's a great point. But the real funny part is, none of you came to this tournament with the expectation of, I'm going to win, or I'm going to be at the top of the podium, or much less the top five, top 10. None of you even mentioned anything like that. Or, you know, I speak to a lot of the guys in the group, and everyone's like, oh, I want to be here, I want to be there, I want to break world records. And it's funny, the discussion, whereas for me personally, I always go to have a good time, period. I like talking to everyone. I love shooting my bow, of course. I love archery. But my goal is, when I go to these things, just have fun, have a good time, be social, and everything else is a fringe benefit. And that's how I personally see the, you know, going to tournaments. And I think when anyone goes to a tournament, if you go with the thought, I'm going to win, I have to win, you have this crazy drive, I think we think into the future, we think too hard about things, we try too hard, and it can backfire on us. Right. So you, in a way, have done the right thing, in my opinion, by just saying, I'm going to go and have fun, go and have a good time. And if I do well, there's a fringe benefit. Right. So it worked out on your behalf. So obviously we just talked about what, you know, leading up to the tournament, how you practiced or maybe didn't. But in general, let's talk about the summer. How much do you practice? How much time do you invest in? We'll stick with this particular subject of 50 meter target nationals. How much time how many days a week do you spend shooting? How much time do you spend shooting leading up to this tournament? And go ahead, Diane, you can start.
So I know for me, I do actually try to practice 3 to 5 times a week.
Okay.
And, you know, it'll be anywhere between, let's say, 90 to about 150 arrows.
Okay.
And, you know, my team meeting regularly and a training partner too really helps keep me motivated to be able to do that. It's become a hobby of mine, right? In addition to just trying to actually compete, something I just enjoy doing for myself. And so it's been surprisingly easy, not necessarily objectively, but surprisingly easy for me to try to find ways to carve out time to be able to go and do that.
Awesome. That's awesome. And that's a good amount of time. I mean, what you're describing, you know, 3 to 5 days to me is on the high end. I really try to put in a minimum of 3 days. If I can, 4 days, if I'm doing five, things are rocking and rolling. Me personally, I was injured prior in the spring. I'm injured right now in my funny looking sling here. This was a bad year for injury and me, but I didn't have much time to practice. So this summer I had to crush it. I had to, every bit of time I had to put in and get the work done. And it was hard pressed. I was paralyzed in my hand for a little bit, but it came around, and I had about I'd say 6 weeks to almost 2 months of being able to practice, you know, 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah, that interestingly was like one of the things that I learned as part of this process is, you know, I never actually thought about really the sort of conditioning that you may want to go through in order to be able to practice at a high level.
Right.
And I think much like yourself, I ended up getting myself injured. I had tendonitis in my hand, like when I went to SoCal, it was actually painful just to shoot. And then I came back from that, had to go through some rehabilitation, take a bit of time off, learn how to be a little more structured and a little more considerate to my body as mm-hmm. part of actually shooting. To hopefully not re-injure myself going into the later tournaments and now kind of in the off season and that switch into indoor.
Gotcha. What about you, Cindy?
So for outdoor, I did my best to try to get 2 to 3 days in of practice a week, mostly because of timing constraints with work, coaching, and then normally rain. Thankfully, it's been a fairly dry year in Texas. It's good for practice, bad for the state. So.
So again, I don't mean to cut you off if you were about to say something. Again, we're not talking about a lot of practice here. What you're describing in terms leading up to this tournament.
Not as much as I would like. I would love to be able to get a solid 3-4 days a week on average. The thing is like I said, I don't have the time available. So on the it's unfortunately, it's kind of like a weekend warrior thing. So like on the days when I can do it, like on a Sunday where I'm not impeded by work or coaching, I will spend hours out at the range, at the outdoor range, just, you know, shooting, taking breaks. But, you know, it's that terrible, like weekend warrior mentality where you're just trying to make up for all of the lost arrows you weren't able to shoot earlier.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you're just angering a lot of people at the same time based on what you're saying, because it's funny. I mean, not to say you are, but it's crazy. You know, so many people put so much time into shooting arrows, I got to get this done. I have, you know, it's a time crunch. I have to get out there when I can. But you're describing, and don't take this the wrong way, Francesca or retired people, you're describing what working people that have families or whatever, we shoot when we can, right? We are in a time bind. We try to prioritize it when we can. Retired folks that get to shoot all the time. Of course, in this group, we know several of them who, you know, people are retired. They can shoot whenever they want. They, whatever the case may be. Or in Francesca's case, maybe you're a student. Of course, you're young, right? Maybe you have a little more free time. I don't know, but we're gonna find out now. So what, Francesca, what do you have to say about this too?
So I practice about 3, sometimes 4 times a week. So yes, I did take college classes over the summer, as dual credit, and then I swim every single day. So
awesome. Good for
that's
you.
A lot yeah. of time constraint on my half. Like yeah. I don't work like you guys do, but I got my sports and my school I gotta still do. So just trying to find my time where I can as well.
Right. So what would you say, like, leading up to, so when, roughly for all of you, but we'll start this with Francesco. So I'll start with, for me, and then we'll go to Francesco. For me, where I live, the spring doesn't kick off until May. It's like really late because I'm in the mountains, it's still raining and snowing. And then by the time I can typically practice, it would be in June, like where I can really be out there on a more consistent basis. This year was an exception with my injury. But so Francesco, when would preparing for 50 meters begin for you? What time?
So like mine's similar to yours. So in May, like I'm ending school for regular high school. And then it's still like cold because I also live in the mountains. And then after that, it starts to become a little bit warmer. I have a little bit more time, and that's when I'm able to start shooting. And that was actually like the first time I started to shoot 50 meters because I was shooting indoors up until then.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. School. Yeah. And then Diane, what about you? What's roughly a good time frame of where you can start for 50 meter?
Weirdly, it's kind of hard for me to answer that because this was like the first year doing competition. I also moved from Southern California up to Seattle, which is where I'm at. So I kind of can't remember exactly when we were able to make that switch. Right. But I definitely remember it being extraordinarily cold. Basically, you were trying to like tromp your way through a bog. Mm-hmm. It was not exactly the most fun situation to get into. But that like early May sounds about right.
Okay.
In terms of like actually being able to get out and practice outdoors regularly.
Yeah. And then Cindy?
I feel
you're all year.
if it's not snow, because it never snows here, I would say I could potentially shoot all year round. My big constraint personally is the fact that I only have one setup, and I have to wait for all of the major indoor tournaments that I care about to conclude, because I then will swap my setup from my indoor setup to my outdoor setup. Because I'm just not cool enough to have multiple setups yet.
You're cool enough. Don't you worry about it. You're all cool enough. I don't want to hear it.
It's actually a little funny. I'm dealing with the opposite problem, right? Because I don't have two setups. Yeah. And I basically just switched everything to go to indoor. And then it was like, right. Oh, there's like one or two more outdoor tournaments that you could do. Right. But now I can't because I switched everything. And just I'm now getting used to being back indoors and trying to flip that back. It would be a little too tough. So
gotcha. Okay, so now we kind of have that information. Now I know how much each one of you practice, or you've told us, and when you started. So we're going to just jump right into practice scores. Okay, so we're going to start with Diane, and I'm curious to know, when you're practicing, if you are keeping score, because I don't a lot of the time, if you are, and what those practice scores are, whether they're for a half, like 300, or a full, like 600, like a 720, so half and half. So what are your normal scores practicing?
Yeah, so I would probably a couple of times a week I'll score the 360. Okay. And then maybe once every couple of weeks I would just check on a 720 just to kind of see how I was doing, right? And I want to say before I started having the tendonitis problems, I was shooting in the 290s to 300s. Then I got tendonitis. and I went from that to 250s. Okay. And then started working my way back up again. And once it mostly recovered, it was kind of back to the same thing. Shooting anywhere between a 290 and a 310. Would 310 would be a great practice round. 290 would be one where I'd be it's at least not 260 or whatever that I was shooting a couple of months beforehand.
Right. So I'm going to throw something in there for the people listening that don't know. Your total score over the qualification weekend, week, whatever, was a 1226. What that means to those people listening, your first half of the first day was a 307, and then your second half was a 300, which is very impressive. And not then bad. You're not bad. Okay. No, it's not bad.
Hey, I say this with a beaming grin, right?
I'm really good.
I don't want to downplay that, right?
It's actually really good. And then so your day two was a 304 and a 315 for a 619 total that day, which is, again, I think, rather good. I know as a benchmark, a lot of on the men's side, I don't know on the women's side. I talk to some women. I don't talk to all women on that group. Usually guys are 600, depending on who you are, right? We're not talking about Demmer or Robbie. We're talking about the average person is looking to benchmark. I want to be able to tournament score a 600. If you can do that, then it's hey, that's pretty dang good. So, sorry, I'm getting a message. I'm clearing that out. You hit that, right? You were 607 and a 619. So that's something to be very proud of. I looked at last year's scores to see who the top was. I knew who the top was at Fawn, and that had beaten her score even. And I was like, wow, that's pretty good. So Cindy.
Yes.
What about you, buddy? What do your practice scores normally like? Do you score? So do you practice for score? What are those scores?
I use an app actually, and I will I will shoot and I'll just plug the numbers into the app.
Okay.
That being said, my group of outdoor kids that I shoot with, we actually this year was the first year where we tried setting up at least regular shoots together where we were shooting a 300 with each other and then just going into practice elims and stuff like that, because that is the one space where I'm gonna say scores matter, but at the end of the day scores don't matter because it's comparative.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
My goal, and if you ask Rick Stonebreaker, I don't know if he remembers, my goal I told him was for USAT by end of USAT to average above an 8 per arrow.
Okay.
And that was how I approached my goal, is my average arrow score.
Okay, that's fair. That's a good way to do that.
Yep.
Before we get to you, Francesca, I score maybe once every 5 or 6 times I practice, maybe. I shoot for color. So when I'm shooting, I just, I want to make sure I'm mostly in the yellow. I just say it like that. If yep. I get a red here and there, I'm totally fine with it.
Yep.
I'm not trying to hit the 10 ring, really. Got to be honest. I'm not trying to hit the 10 ring. Just trying to hit yellow. I can't see rings. I know when it's in, I can tell if it's in the 10. I can tell if it's in the 9. All the numbers, for that matter, without actually looking through my scope. But for me, I don't really shoot for score. I shoot for color. I just shoot for the yellow. And if I get most of them in there, that's all I care about. Because then I know my score will be above 600 or much higher. And that's all I care about. I just want to have that minimum benchmark we were talking about. So, Francesco, what about you? Do you score?
I don't score my practice. I'm just like, I kind of follow this, like the color thing of, I just want to get them all in that like 8, 9, 10 ring area. I don't really pay attention to the score because I don't think it really matters until like you actually go and compete. So.
Yeah. And that's a great point. Yeah. It doesn't matter even when you're competing, right? Because you're in a way you're just doing your best, right? And whatever that is, it is. This was, for me, this was my worst tournament I've ever done in terms of score. I did okay in the US Open, but you know, for nationals, I was shooting poorly. I shot poorly for me. And it was, I wasn't disappointed. I was just kind of inquisitive or questioning like how that ended up that way. It didn't matter in the long run. As long as I'm having a good time again, socializing, having fun. And I did fine in the Open. That's all I care about. I had a good time. I get to do a head-to-head with Demmer. And, you know, now we're one each. He's got one. I got one. Now we have to shoot another one and break the tie and see what happens. But, yeah, good points. And so, again, not really for all of you. There's not a major focus on I'm going to shoot. Diane, you did mention scores. You shot along in par with your scores. But, again, you all kind of mentioned that, like, it's not a huge important factor, right? Like it wasn't going into this. It doesn't seem like, oh, you have a benchmark. You need to know where you have a spot where you want to or need to be. None of you really mentioned that. Like, oh, this is where my average is and this is where I should end up.
Yeah. I mean, even for like me and the scores that I was putting together, it would be, hey, I'm going to go into this week trying to focus on my release. Right. And then let me work all week on that. And then I'll do a scoring round at the end of it. Is it seemingly getting me a little bit better or a little bit worse? Right. So even then, like the scores weren't like, oh, I need to shoot the score. And, oh, I need to have this average and I need to do this other thing. But actually just, am I improving? Am I not? And, you know, has this change helped me? Has it not? So yeah, I just, even for me, like doing scores, I just want to make sure that it's not a thing of like, oh, I'm doing scores to go, okay, well, I need to hit this average over and over and over
right.
again. Right.
Right. Yeah. So with all of this information, now I'm going to get to the burning question. I'm going to ask a question and we'll start with Diane. We're going to go Diane, Cindy, and Francesca. I want you to say just the number, how long again, so you can repeat it. How long have you been shooting bare bow?
I started shooting in April of last year. So
1 year,
about a year and a half.
Year and a half. Cindy?
About 11 months.
11 months. Francesca?
9 months.
9 months. So this is ridiculous.
Right? I have an unfair advantage, though. I'm a throw it out there. I do have an unfair advantage.
Please.
It's not like I've only done bare bow. I've shot compound for years.
Sure.
And I've shot recurve. I like started off as a recurve shooter, but I've shot compound for years. So it's not like I just picked up a bare bow and like I just all
okay,
of a sudden
so
knew
I'm
how to
cut
shoot.
You off. I'm gonna cut you off. You're done. Because it's not the same animal at all. Not even remotely close. Now, granted, there's form similarities, right? I mean, we know this. There's some form similarities, but shooting bare bow and shooting compound, it's apples and walnuts. It's not even the same. Like it's nothing even close. Which makes all of you, to me, super impressive. I and not just to me, but there, I think a lot of people in the bareboat community that know what you did, how well you did, what you accomplished, and how long you haven't been shooting, it says something. There's something there. Like, so I don't want to say, okay, is there a secret? Maybe you have a secret. Maybe you're doing something different. Maybe you have a different approach, but you've put like a huge question mark out there. Like, how did this happen? Like, how did you do that? Like, you, there's people that are on that line that have been shooting for years that still haven't even hit the top 10, much less the top 5, definitely not the top 3. So what do you got? Is there anything there that you like, you can't just say, Diane, well, I guess I got lucky a little bit. I mean, you're telling me your average practice scores are 290, 300. Yeah, you got hurt, then you were back to 290, whatever. And at the same time, it's like, how do you do that? How do you go from, oh, I started shooting a year and a half ago to winning the national championship?
Well, I know for me, I don't know how this is for anybody else. I got inspired. And interestingly, the bareboat community, particularly on the women's side, I don't know about the men's side, but on the women's side, it is extraordinarily supportive. And everybody is basically out there for each other. And that was something that really resonated with me, right? Like I kind of saw it from watching a couple of the streams. You know, my kind of big moment was watching Sarah Gebhardt win the US Open last year. Because she was the person who made me go, wait, maybe I could do that, right? So I think as this community grows, right, it attracts more and more people, right? And it's going to be people of all walks of life, all different sorts of skill levels.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, my actual hope is that, like, a few years from now, I'm not even considered good, right? That I'm average because the good women have actually showed up, right? That's really what I want to see. And that's a part of what I think it actually is, right? Is you see this welcoming community, you see this very open community, and you go, oh, wait, I could be a part of that thing. And you apply yourself into it and you try to improve and you try to do everything you can. And it's just going to keep getting more and more people. And that includes people who are going to be, you know, rather good.
No, that's really interesting to hear that perspective. That the community acts as a driver, right? So you get inspired, like you mentioned Sarah, and yeah, she's another one. Kind of last year, kind of came out of nowhere. A student of Kevin, I believe, Kegelgami, and she just emerged, right? Like she was like, everyone's like, who's this? Where? Like, where'd she come from? I remember that. It was kind of like, and now you're kind of on that same front, but it's like you saw something. You saw like potential, you mentioned it, like, hey, this is something I can do. I might be able to do this. And I've heard that from other people as well say, anyone can do it, right? Anyone can do it. Anyone can put forth the, you know, grab a bow, try and see what they can do, right? We really, that's fact. But again, the time, the effort, the mental game is enormous. We haven't even touched on that yet. But that's an interesting driver, and I appreciate that perspective. That's really good. It wasn't like you like, oh, I have this crazy secret or something, you know, here's how I do it. What about you, Cindy? Something similar or something different, or what do you got? And don't say compound bows, or you've been shooting compound bows, and I don't want to hear it. It's not the same.
it's not the same. I will give you that. And the community in Barebow is absolutely stellar. It's such an amazing community. I'm so glad to be a part of it. But I do think practice obviously does help, but I would also say the type of practice that somebody does can make a difference, because
oh yes,
it's not just the number of arrows, it's how are you actually shooting right. Those arrows is what I'm gonna say. I don't think that's necessarily the secret sauce per se. It may be just a little salt that you just flavor the meat with.
Yeah. No, I like that. You're delving into the mental game just a little bit, like you're tickling it, right? You're like, you just don't go out and fling arrows. I have, I've said that before to people. You can't just go out and just start shooting arrows and expect great things to happen. One of the things I discuss with people is If practice doesn't go your way, don't get mad, don't get angry, don't get upset. Be inquisitive in your process. What am I, you know, even one shot goes awry. Why did that happen? What did I do? What can I change? And instead of getting angry and just knocking an arrow and flinging another arrow, and again, with the intent for it to hit the middle and it doesn't, it's only going to frustrate you and send you down a downward spiral. But the type, like you mentioned, the type of practice, right? So it's like intentional and purposeful, right? And I'm guessing based on you saying that, that's how you go about your practice day.
It is. And allowing myself the grace to know if I have a bad day that I can't let that influence how I feel about the shots, because we're all entitled to a bad day. And
absolutely.
And that bad day may happen at a tournament. I had terrible days on some of them, and I can't let that influence me to where I'm not going to approach it in the best way possible the next time around or the next practice.
There you go. I like that. That's good. It's great. Love it. What about you, Francesca?
So I would say that for me, like personally, it'd be like my swimming background, I guess that would like help. Swimming uses a lot of your back muscles, and archery is all about your back muscles. Sure. But the one thing I did like enjoy about this community is that like in swimming, it's almost like every man for themselves. And then archery, everyone wants like each other to succeed, and they want you to succeed at your best ability. They don't want to just beat you at your worst. They want to beat you at your best. And that's just something one. I've never dealt with before in swimming, and that everyone's like always open and like wanting to give you like advice and help you out in multiple ways, which is just
right.
Something I've never seen before.
Right. And you all mentioned it, and you're correct. I've come from two different archery backgrounds, and the barebow group is definitely, and I will say the traditional archery longbow group, I'll lump those in, very, very helpful, right? It's like family. Everyone wants to see everyone succeed. I know I do. I want to see people at the top of the podium. It's neat. It's great to be there, right? It feels good. People get to know who you are, what you've done, what you've accomplished. And people have wished that for you. They've said, oh yeah, we want to see you there. We do. It's like, it's a neat place to be. It's great to be at the top, right? And I want everyone to be there. And the barebow community has many outlets, especially with social media, right? You can see, you know, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, there's always people sharing information and giving information, so that we can all seem to accelerate and do well, right? And the Barebow Project being one of them, there's other people putting information out there, and it's not hard to find. But again, people willing to help people to get them to the top, as a theme, right, is definitely a positive thing. In Olympic recurve, when I shot there, it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was as open and helpful. It was, I wouldn't say cutthroat, but people didn't want you to succeed. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, we know who's going to win. We know who's going to be at the top. And it was like everybody else, right? There's like, you have four or five people at the top, and then there's everybody else. And that field is really big too. But everybody's trying to be at the top. And I don't want to say that the people at the top are not helpful. Sure, there are some, but it's definitely a more cutthroat community. Same with, I don't know about compound. I haven't shot a competitive compound in, you know, forever, at least in Target. I can only assume that there's people at the top all the time. We know who they are. And then there's everybody else. Cindy, do you have anything to say about that, being that you've been there?
I'm going to plead the fifth.
Oh, plead the fifth. Boo on you.
No. No, it's actually, I would say it's, there are definitely, you typically know going into a tournament sort of like where people are going to fall. And it is different, especially when it comes to elims, because they don't have the same format. So you know, after first day of qualifications, who's putting up those scores? Because they're just going to carry it over to ELIMs. There is no, there's not like, there's typically not an underdog redemption story in compound.
Right. Yeah, I guess there's not. Yeah. We have a question from the group I'm going to ask, and then we'll come back to what we're doing. The question's from Lisa Sullivan, and she asks, did you all practice 50 meter 99% of the time, or did you find it useful to also practice closer distances to become more accurate or farther distances? So real quick, I'm gonna talk about this, and then we'll go in that order again. We'll go Diane, Cindy, and Francesca. When I coach people, ideally I try to teach them to not shoot at 50 meter from the start and finish at 50 meter. The argument typically is, well, I'm gonna be shooting 50 meter. This is where I need to be shooting. I try to argue against that because I think people should, even on the big target, start small, or in this case, close, and work your way back so you know how to keep things tight. I think if you can say, I'll use an argument of 30 meters. If we start the big target, go to 30 meters, start there, spend a lot of time there shooting. And once you're able at 30 meters, if you can put all those arrows in the yellow, okay, let's graduate you. Let's move back to 35. And maybe do that in 5 or 6 meter increments where we're moving back and just kind of keeping it tight. That's how I personally would coach someone into that. So going to her question again, do you all practice 50 meters 99% of the time, or do you find it useful to practice closer distances to become more accurate? Diane, what do you have to say about that?
Well, so kind of answering that in two different ways. Number one, when I came out of indoor, I never shot outdoor before. So obviously I was terrified at the idea of trying to shoot that far. It felt like this impossible hurdle. So I started shooting at the 18 meters or 20 yards, and then I would move back five mm-hmm. and then move back five. The outdoor range has a V range. So I was able to do that until I got to the point where I was like, okay, you know what? I think I can keep it in the blue at 50 meters. And at that point, that's when I really just kind of started to focus on that. Though the second part of that is when I wanted to work on something particular, I would go to a shorter range to work on that particular thing to make sure that I was getting it really nailed in and that it wasn't just, you know, distance kind of causing a few issues. And then I would pull back to 50 meters just to make sure that it's actually, you know, doing the thing that I want it to do.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Cindy?
I went balls to the wall. I just gunned it straight for 50. I was like, if I can hit 50 with the compound, I should be able to hit 50 with the bare bow. Not as well. Clearly. And I lost a couple of soldiers out to the archery gods.
Yeah,
you know?
It happens. It happens. Yeah.
It mm-hmm. does happen. But I was bound and determined to get to the yardage to hit outdoor. And then once I got that, it was one of those, I would still shoot indoor on occasion just because I
okay.
shoot where the opportunity presents itself, because once again, okay. going to that yeah. time constraint thing,
yep,
if I'm coaching and one of my kids doesn't show up last minute, if I have my equipment on me, that's an hour I can shoot indoors. I can throw it in there.
Yep. Yep. I get it. Francesca.
So I went straight out to 50. I shot indoor nationals because it's in Albuquerque. Okay. And then I went outside and shot 50 meters. And then I don't know if anyone saw during a practice on that separate field, I would pull up the compound target and I would put it on top of the like R face and just to like work on smaller grouping. And if I can hit a compound target, I can hit the big target. So that's what I
do. That's
used.
True.
Yep. Yep. Would do that yeah. fairly often, right? Because it makes you shoot a little bit smaller.
That's great. Yeah. This is a side note. I shot the, what's it called? Yankton's got that indoor 50 yard tournament. I did that 2 years ago. They have their own little NFAA. I can't remember the name of it. That was very intimidating because they take four targets and they put it on one bale and you're shooting at 50 yards indoor and it's the compound target. So it's the small. And I was like, I only have like 6 arrows. I don't know what's going to happen. This is going to be awful. How am I going to shoot? And I did okay. I think I took second. I mean, it was, It worked out okay, but I was scared. Like, talk about intimidating. Was shooting that compound target on the round bale, so the four on a round bale at 50 yards indoor with a concrete wall behind it. I was like, ah! It was freaking me out. But I, again, so it's funny, if I had a new person and new, and I would include you, probably all of you in this, when I would, if I were to coach you from the start to shoot out at 50 meters, I would not go, here we are, 50 meters, have at it. I would not even, remotely do that. In an ideal situation, the way I described it earlier is I would start close on that target and simply move people back. And I still, as a coaching tool, if anyone's listening and you want to use that as a tool, I encourage it, because if you can't crush the yellow at 30 meters, you have no business moving back to 50 meters. I'm sorry. Like, at 30 meters, that thing is this big. It's as big as your hand. That's like shooting that indoor target at 20 meters or 18 meters and 20 yards. It's like hitting the white. It's way out there. It's huge. It's a huge target. So before we get, as Cindy would say, ballsy maybe, and go way back to 50 meters and start from there, I would personally recommend starting closer and then move. So now that we know that you all kind of started there, and I know you've done indoor, and I really can't, that's again an apples to oranges thing, shooting indoor and then going right to 50 meter. You don't really shoot them the same and you can use different equipment. I want to know what your setups are to get to 50 meter. So Diane, let's start with you. What are you shooting? What's your equipment? And we'll tap into another question once I know what that is.
I have a Win-A-Win ATF DX riser with UCA SX Plus lens. I'm pulling, I want to say when I checked it about a month ago, it was about 37 pounds on the fingers. I have a AE Free Flight Elite rest with a Whiffler MP2 plunger. And then ACE arrows, and the requisite Yost tab that everybody should have.
Curious, so you said you're 37 on the fingers. Yep. What spine are you shooting?
I believe there's 660 spines. 660, and so okay. Yep, 660, and they're cut down maybe 2.5 inches from full length.
Oh, wow, so they're like almost 29, that's 29 or better?
Yeah, I think it's like 29.2 inches is what I've got in terms of the arrow length.
I'm just asking that for a data point because I am curious, and people are curious what equipment people are shooting, whether it's successful or not. It's important to get that information as data. And then what's your draw length?
I think it's 27.5 inches.
Wow. Okay. That's okay. All right, Cindy, what about you, kid?
5X all day. I have a 5X Argon X riser, 5X Scotty limbs, and I shoot, they're literally called 5X shafts from 5X.
Arrows, yep, well. I'm familiar, yeah.
Yep, and then I use a Win-A-Win EZR tab.
Okay, what's your draw weight?
I want to say I'm pulling around 36, 37.
36 or 7. So are you shooting like, what's your draw length? Let's go with that next.
roughly. I know for my compound, it was 26.5.
26.5. So I'm guessing you're shooting like a 40 or 42 pound limb.
I'm shooting a 38 pound limb.
38 pound limb. 36, 26. Okay. I'm just trying to do the math there. 38. Yeah. Okay. That sounds about, So they're cranked down all the way, I'm guessing.
They are not yet, actually. So the thing I found really interesting with the 5X limbs is for somebody with as short of a draw length as mine, I can actually get pretty close to the marked weight on the limbs.
Are you shooting a medium?
I'm shooting a short.
A short. Oh, okay, that makes way more sense. Diane, real quick, back to you. Are you shooting a short, long, or medium?
Medium.
Medium, okay. All right, and Cindy, so... Yeah, I was trying to make sense of that. So with my wife, Julie, who you know, mm-hmm. We had her on shorts 2 years ago and for 2 years. And then those limbs weren't super great. So we moved her onto a medium. But for people listening, you want to be on the correct length limb. And we'll get to you too, Francesca. I am curious. If you're shooting a limb that's too long for your draw, you lose so much power out of that limb. It's not even funny. And so many, I know people will typically go to a longer limb, maybe because there's less finger pinch, a little more forgiveness. Sure, in some ways those are fact, but at the same time, you might not be able to reach 50 meter if you're shooting a long. We've proven this, we've seen it. I've done it with Julie, where we've taken the same weight limb, the same draw length, same everything, and she won't even reach the target with one and she'll hit high on the target on another. So it's about playing the game. So Francesca, what about you? What's your equipment?
So Hoyt Exceed 27 inch. I have the Hoyt F7s long. And then I'm shooting
a Time out. So you said you're shooting a 27 Exceed and long. So yes. For those listening, that's a 72 inch bow.
Yes.
Now you weren't shooting that at Target. You weren't shooting that at Nationals.
Yeah, I was.
You were?
That's what I was shooting, yeah.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Stegarelli Rest, Viter Plunger. It's a 63 length string. What else? Yost Tef, and I'm shooting Victory Vaps, 600 spine with 120 point.
600 spine. What's your draw weight on those? What's like on the finger draw weight? Do you know?
38.
And then what's the weight of that long limb?
They're, I think, 36 or something like that.
Right. So the way it works is if you want to be around, let's call it 38 pounds on a 27 inch riser, you'd have to have like a 42 pound limb because you're going to lose weight with a longer riser. And with a shorter riser, so if like you take a hunting length riser, like a 15 or a 17, and you put lightweight limbs on it, it increases the weight. So it actually goes the other way. So interesting setup. And what's your draw length?
28 and a half.
28 and a half. How tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
You have a 28 and a half inch draw. That's pretty good. So to me, those numbers make sense. So now I'm going to ask the question and then if you can answer it in one or two sentences, and Francesca, being that we're with you, how do you aim? Do you aim point on? Do you aim 6 o'clock hold or lollipop or however you want to call it? Or do you have some other place you aim on the target?
So I string walk. So it's about, depending on like elevation, humidity and stuff, normally like 6 o'clock on the bottom of the nine ring. Sometimes if it's like, depending on like humidity and elevation, a little bit left on that.
Okay. And then do you have a crawl or are you point on?
It's a crawl.
You do have a crawl?
Yeah.
Not much, I'm guessing, or is it?
No, it's probably like half an inch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Diane, what about you? Where do you aim?
So I put the tip in the center of the target and let go. I string walk. And I think I actually measured it. It was 3/4 of an inch.
3/4 of an inch.
Because I was doing some like tuning and optimization stuff. Depending on various factors for like north south, I may adjust it a little bit. But if it's more kind of weird external conditions like the wind or other things, then I'll start to aim off a little bit when I know it's pretty solid, because I don't want to change too much here and kind of get in my own head about things.
Right. And Cindy?
A gap shoot.
Okay. That's incredible. Now shut your mouth. So everyone, I'm just going to like, we're going to just do a pile on you. You gap shoot and you've been doing it for under a year. So let's be clear. We know what you're talking about. You're shoot 3 under, right? Because you're shooting a Yost tab.
I do not use a Yost tab. I use a Win-N-Win EZR tab with the finger spacer 3 fingers under.
Okay, that's okay. So no, that's good, because I try to teach other people that. That's totally fine. So I'll get to the details of that in a second. So tell me how your visual is, what your gap is.
Okay. I will say at the start of the USAT season, I was maybe top of the white, top of the black, slightly to the right for the most part.
Oh my God.
So like maybe 1 o'clock-ish in the white or black. And then towards the end of USAT, like for Target Nationals, I was closer to like red, blue between 12 and 1 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's talk about making it difficult for yourself. It's truly incredible. Like, no, seriously, but it's like truly incredible how you pull off what you pulled off doing that. Right. So standard for barebow, let's be clear. Standard for barebow is 3 fingers under. Most people shoot the Yost Tap. And they shoot 3 fingers under. They have an anchor somewhere on their mouth near, you know, very few people go under the chin, but some people do, believe it or not. You're talking split finger, 3 under, and you're still using the normal anchor.
Yep.
Right?
It is an Ollie recurve tab that I've taken the ledge off of.
Right. And so, and that's totally cool to do. So, we did the same with my wife at one point, again, to get the trajectory. When you start just by going from 3 finger normal point on where you have an anchor and no split, and then you go just to split with the same anchor, that arrow drops about 1 inch average on most people's fingers.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
I was gonna say, it's still 3 fingers under.
Oh, no, I'm well. Yeah, I know what you're doing. Oh, no, I know what you're doing. And so... And so what I'm trying to say is, so most people will gain an inch in anchor down range. That does help. It does help get trajectory for some people. Another method is keeping the 3 finger normal and then maybe just going under the chin. You will gain significant altitude doing that by going 3 finger under the chin. And I've done it with, again, going back to Julie, we've gone to split finger, what you're doing, under the chin, again, to get trajectory. If you have an individual, and I've worked with individuals who are shooting under 30 pounds, how are you going to get to 50 meter? It's really hard to do to get to 50 meter. So you got to be creative. So you're saying, your case, you're shooting split finger, 3 under, meaning there's this gap here, and then the arrow is sitting on top normal, and you're aiming high gap for that arrow to drop in.
Yep.
It's incredible. That's like, it's so hard to do. It's super hard to do, right? I mean, aiming off, I always give props to people who have to aim high and let that thing drop in. But a lot of times you're aiming at nothing, especially in gap shooting. Like if you're trying to gap shoot field archery 3D, a lot of times you're aiming at nothing. Right? There's nothing, there's no reference points. So you're kind of imagining, like, you're like, oh, okay, this is about where I need to be. And you're just like, send it, right? You're not actually, you're doing the hardest thing. And where those of us who can aim on, we're like yellow. Francesca, you hold below, which is fine. It's all the same, right? It's just an aiming reference, but we have that yellow. When you're like way up here and off to the side at 1 o'clock, then you're like, it's like Hail Mary, but it's working for you. It's doing wonders for you. That's pretty incredible. And I think, again, the data points that people can hear. And again, here's some things, like people are like, the reactions. Robbie is like, Robbie Weissling, I could not gap shoot. Props to you. Just try to see if anything else is out here. But again, it's so hard to do. It's really hard to do. And yet you made it successful, you know, and it's incredible. It's all of you. I mean, you guys are doing great. And it's impressive to see you all in the higher end, 37, 36, 38 pounds at 50 meter, you know, for that 50 meter bow. It can become fatiguing. It does get tiring.
That's actually something that in the last couple of tournaments I was in, I started asking people, you know, because for like me, the whole reason why I ended up at the weight that I did is I saw, I want to say it was Fawn Gerard at Lancaster, and they asked her, you know, what she was shooting, and she was, you know, the 36 pounds on the finger. So I went, oh, okay, well, I need to get the 36 pounds. And the last couple of tournaments, When I was asking, there are a lot of women that were, you know, 28, 30 pounds, 32 pounds. Very, very few. I think a large number of which are sitting here in this conference call, who were actually of that higher weight. And I think that did a lot for the wind, which was pretty, you know, prevalent, particularly on that first day for outdoor nationals.
Oh, yeah. Where do you anchor, Diane? Where's your anchor?
So it's basically here at the corner of the mouth.
Index finger, corner of the mouth.
Yeah.
Pretty standard. Francesca, same?
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it seems to be a standard. Elton asked that question. Depending on where you anchor, can help, again, with your trajectory. But again, the standard in what we do is index finger. Some people go middle finger, corner of the mouth. And then for myself, I actually hook my thumb behind my jaw.
Yep.
Just so I know I have a good purchase there. And then I do the same thing. I think we all do. It's kind of a fair standard. Wow. A lot of great information coming out of you guys. It'll be helpful for people that watch in the future. I'm just impressed with all of you.
Something I'd actually love to kind of know, and this is in the realm of gap shooting, is when I feel like I've got a really solid shot, even if that shot isn't perfect, but I'm putting a really tight group in a place, I will then gap off in order to try to move that group to the right location instead of trying to adjust how I'm shooting. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is kind of in the vein of, I cannot do the gap shooting. I know at least for me on day two of nationals, I was actually shooting a little short. So everything was kind of dropping down into the eight range. And rather than try to really fix anything, I basically just aimed up at the top eight and just kind of let everything fall in and did that pretty much all day long.
Interesting. That's awesome. Yeah. Great, great information, guys. I'm digging it. I could keep you here all night and chit chat, but I'm not going to do that. I was blessed with the gift of gab. And when it's about archery, I can talk your faces off, and I'm sure you can do the same to me. I do want to talk about one more thing, and that's for each of you. What's next for you? So Diane, let's start with you. Do you have any future plans? And we can talk about anything next year that's happening or coming up. We have indoor 3D field, again, 50 meter. What's your future plan? What you got?
For me, I have a thing that would be great if it happened. And then I have the things that I'm actually going to like kind of tactically work towards. The thing that would be great if it happened last year for, you know, my little group here, I was always joking that, you know, hey, maybe I can make the national team. I think I missed that by just a little bit.
You're talking about the USAT team that we're discussing? Correct. Okay.
Yeah. So going into next year, it would be really great to be able to make that happen, kind of starting from the beginning of the year with that as a possibility and a focus. And then, you know, the tactical thing is it's getting back to indoor season. I kind of want to get a real setup for that. Once again, it's, you know, when I was doing this time last year, I wasn't really focused on trying to compete at all. So actually setting up a good tune for me and really just kind of hone in and see how good I can try to get.
Good. So will we see you at Lancaster, Vegas, indoor nationals, anything in the near future? Mm-hmm.
Yep. My plan is to try to make it to Vegas, try to make it to Lancaster. Definitely want to like have me and my team go to indoor nationals. I think we're going to try to go to Sacramento and then kind of see where things go from there.
Excellent. Cindy?
Similar. I would like to make the USAT team next year. I think I got it this year, but I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means.
I know what it means, but I don't know what it means for Barebow.
You get a crazy cool jersey. So to be honest, I'll just say it and put it out there. So Diane, are you saying she is on the team? She did get it.
Well, looking at the national rankings, they just put them up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah,
she's third.
Okay. So unfortunately for us in Barebow, it means nothing, right? And that's unfortunate. But that does not say your efforts have not paid off. What that means is you are on the U.S. archery team, and if we ever do anything as a team, you will get to go. Unfortunately for us, and Barebone, we don't get to do anything. We don't get it. Usually when we, yeah, I know, it's like, so here's the other twist to that unfortunate part is we will have team trials for other things coming up. But those are individual standalone games. For instance, next year we'll have our field championship. So our national championship. And then if you do well at that, then you will make that field team. It's just, and Robbie's saying it, it's like you're on the all-star team, right? So, but unfortunately, when we do an event that goes international, we have to try out for that specific team. I've been fortunate to be on a couple. I have never been on the USAT team. So I've been fortunate enough to make other teams though, or qualify to be on other teams to go either international or we had our world championships here in the United States last year. I was on that team. So, but you're based on what you did, the tournaments you went to and how well you did, you got to the top of the list and you're there. So good for you. Kudos to you for making the team. So then indoor nationals, Vegas?
Indoor nationals and Vegas for sure.
Vegas for sure. And then Lancaster?
Maybe.
Okay. And then will you next year try field and 3D and any of those events?
I've had a couple of Barebone friends try and push me towards those events. It's not, given the amount of practice I'm able to put away, it's hard for me to justify doing it and trying to stay competitive and target as well.
Right.
Unless I just find the right like practice partner who just sort of drags me out there.
Gotcha. Okay. Francesca, what about you?
I'm going indoors. I'm actually gonna go to Texas and shoot like their fall fling thing. Okay. And then indoor nationals and maybe Vegas. I don't know. Have to figure out school.
Okay. Yeah. School is a priority and I would agree with that and concur with that. I will tell you to stay in school and there are no jobs in Barebone archery. So just stay in school, do your thing. There's no money. There's no careers in Barebone archery, unfortunately, in the United States. If you want one, you'd have to move to Europe. But as we know, Lancaster is going to be coming up soon. Registration just opened for that. That's our big indoor. That's where we get that's the pretty dang big crowd. I mean, we get the most shooters. So many people show up to that. I think more people show up to Vegas, believe it or not, by statistics. But the press that we get out of Lancaster is immense. So everyone knows the Lancaster Classic. It's a great time. If you're listening and you're thinking of going, I highly recommend it. It's just a great time. Again, with all the Barebone people, we pretty much run that show. Barebone, I think we have more Barebone archers than any other group. I think there's less than 60 in the Olympic recurve. There might be quite a few compound shooters, but the Barebone is the big draw there, and it's worked out great. Vegas, very similar. Big crowds, right? It's a lot of fun. It's Vegas. The vendors are great. It's a great time. You can do other things besides archery. We just have a blast with it. I haven't missed in, I think, five or six, probably since 2017 when I was shooting Olympic recurve. And I try not to miss that tournament. It's a good time. But I hope to see all of you at some of those, or at least one of them. And I will wish you well at your indoor nationals, wherever those might be. And we play that all over the country in different locations. So everyone kind of gets to play. I think most people do end up doing that tournament. If I'm not mistaken, I would say most people that are competitive will go to some indoor national somewhere and try to make it to that top eight, I believe, where we can go to, Kentucky, where I tore my bicep and that was the end of my shooting career this year. You can make it to that and be in the finals and, you know, be our indoor national champion too. You guys are sitting on the podium for outdoor. Why not make it to indoor? Robbie did it this year. Robbie did, I think, all three, indoor, field and outdoor target. Kudos to him. He's our top dog right now. He's the king of the hill. We're all going to knock him down, at least on the men's side. but it's nice to see one of you at the top again at one of the other tournaments. So I hope to see you guys at one of those. We're going to part ways here. I'm going to let you guys go. It's about 10 after the hour. It's getting late in a lot of places. But before I go, do any of you have anything to say? Any questions? Anything you want to mention? Diane, we can start with you.
I don't know if I can be put on the spot right now. I was trying to rack my brain for anything that I wanted to lead out with. Maybe the one thing that was probably the biggest thing that I've learned over the past year, which is you should go do some tournaments. They're fun. Like, don't go there to be really competitive. Go there to meet the community of people that love doing the same thing you do. Right? Like, that's what that community actually is a whole bunch of people around you that just want to geek out about the same thing that you enjoy.
That's right.
So really go do it, and go for the experience, go to have a good time, go to have fun. And then, you know, kind of carrying on with that, let archery be fun. Right. It's a hobby, right? It's, yep. You know, we can get really competitive about it, but at the end of the day, it's a hobby. Enjoy what you do. Enjoy the time you spend with it, because it's an amazing hobby to have gotten into.
Yep. Great parting thoughts. Cindy, what about you?
I'll echo those sentiments, like enjoy it. I 100% agree. Go to a tournament and, make fun of it. Like, don't make it all about shooting. Go enjoy the city wherever you are, mm-hmm. and explore and just live life.
Right. Francesca?
I guess recap of what everyone else is saying as well. Mm-hmm. Like, go have a good time, and like, there's nothing that like you can't do out there. Just like, go and do it, and like, don't be afraid to like take that risk if you're like on the border of wanting to do it, and just go out, have a good time, and meet cool people.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it's all about, guys. I mean, again, I'll just say it just like you did. Have fun with it, right? Go and have a good time, meet the people, socialize. As you know, I've met one of you. Cindy, you and I have spent time prior to this, and I'm super social. I want to have a good time with everybody. I want everybody to have a good time as well. And like Francesca, you mentioned, you go to a different place, go see that place, go see the sights of that place. Again, we can do these tournaments in all over the country. Go see it, go visit it. It's not just about the tournament. It's about having fun with others. It's archery. It's fun. None of us are getting paid to do it. We're not making money doing this. It's just a good time. Don't overthink it. Right? Don't make it too heavy on you. Like, I got to do well. I have to do this. Just have fun with it. Enjoy your time doing it and the place you're at doing it. Good thoughts, guys. This was very, very good. I'm going to, personal note again, congratulate all of you for doing what you did, being where you are currently at the top, and applause to you. I love seeing new people at the top. Everyone does. Everyone loves the underdog story. Everyone loves to see like who is this person? Where did they come from? It happened to me. It's happening to you. And it's a lot of fun, right? Instead of seeing the same people there all the time, we like those people. We want to see those people succeed as well. But it's also fun to say, hey, look at this. Who are you? Where'd you come from? Look what you did. Good for you. I'm happy to see you guys there. And on that note, I also want to thank Frank for letting me run the show tonight. I'm hoping to have more of these in the future, whether it's near or far. Again, I can't shoot. I can't participate right now. I'm on the injured list. So this is my way of kind of staying involved through coaching and through doing these interviews with people. I'm also creating content that I'm going to hopefully put out there sooner than later. Again, for other people to learn from, or hopefully learn from, or get good information from that we can all use. So again, thank you guys for being here, and congratulations, and you all can have a good night.